Friends, Psalm 107 is a call to praise God. It begins with these words. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. It speaks about the grace of God, the power of God in people's lives. Can you say God's power and grace is demonstrated in my life? It's a psalm of testimony of why Christians should glorify God, why we have reason to glorify God. But also it is a psalm that is an encouragement to those who are not Christians to see the way God saves. So if you're not a Christian, this is a psalm for you as well, to see what God does in souls and what you need as well. In verse 2, we are told this, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let those who are redeemed say these things to give thanks to God. That's what they should do. Those who are redeemed, we are to praise Him because He is good. So this word refers to that which is beautiful. The thing that is good, it refers to things that are best, that are the finest, that are the kindest, loveliest, sweetest. And who is good but God alone? The Lord is good. The Lord is kindest, sweetest. We are to praise Him for His mercy, the psalmist says. So as you read this psalm, it becomes clear that God was behind all the disruptions that they encountered in life as well. Yes, while He might have been behind the pain, He did not forsake them to their troubles. Why did they experience pain, suffering? Because they had forsaken God. And that's what sin does. You see, everything that you and I experience that is painful, the breakups of relationships, the troubles in the land, the troubles in all kinds of societies, you go back, you find it is sin. Sin was involved in that. And sin separates. It separates us from each other, and it separates us, most importantly, from God. But God did not forsake them in their troubles. That's why they now are thanking Him and called to do so. He worked in them to bring them to a place of restoration and blessing. Friends, the person who is not a Christian doesn't see God's hand in many things, or if we could say in anything. That person is often empty, often just carrying on, going through motions, going through Monday mornings and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays and through the week. And there are certain points in their life that they're looking forward to, but the cycle goes on. It carries on aimlessly, not knowing where they are heading, what they will face, how they will face the difficulties of life in future. And oftentimes, people blame God. Not always blame, but oftentimes they blame God and complain. And when someone is upset, oftentimes they use the name of God in vain. They use the name of the Lord disrespectfully. Have we done that? We hear it oftentimes, don't we? This psalm was probably written after Israel had been delivered from their bondage in Assyria and Babylon. And they're reminded of what the Lord caused them to suffer because of their sins and how the Lord delivered them when they called upon Him by faith. It's a psalm of salvation. It's a psalm that explains to you how God saves by His grace. And so they're reminded of the consequences of their sins and departures from God. They're reminded as well of God's grace, how God showed them this grace in forgiving them their sins and restoring them. They're called on to praise the Lord for His mercy and grace in their lives. They're also reminded that God is ever faithful to hear and to restore those who call on Him. And all you need to do is to go to God through Jesus Christ. That's all. It is, in one sense, so simple, and yet it is so difficult. It is impossible. In one sense, God is saying to us, come unto Me through My Son, Jesus Christ. And what do? So we will say, well, unless I get my life sorted out, God will not hear me. Or I need to do it by going through different individuals. Maybe I need to talk to a pastor. I need to talk to my parents. I need to just talk and talk and talk. I need to listen to more sermons. I need to read more books. I need to read more tracts. I need to wait more, longer. As a child, I would say, I would need to go and see the priest more often. No. All of those things will not save a soul. All of those things will not in themselves lead us to God. But Jesus Christ will. The Lord Jesus Christ will. The atheist or the person who has not been born again doesn't know anything about this, what the psalmist is talking about. So there is a word for us today. Where does the Lord, where does God find us? And has He delivered us from our terrible condition? Because he has moved in power and redeemed, those who are redeemed are challenged again and again in this psalm, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Don't forget that. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Because He hath redeemed them from the hand of the enemy and gathered them out of the land from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. Because of these things, the Lord's people, those who are redeemed, should speak of these things. To be redeemed, that's an important word in the Bible. It tells us of something of the gospel of Jesus Christ. To be redeemed. The very word redeemed, it suggests the payment of a price. God redeemed us. How? By the sending of His Son to die for us upon the cross. That the weight of my sin and those of you who trust in Him were laid upon Him. And for our sins, He was condemned. For our sins, the Father poured His wrath on Him. And the Lord Jesus Christ took our place on the cross, suffered our hell, and endured the awful wrath of God that was intended for us. And that's enough to praise Him for all eternity. He gives us even more reasons throughout this psalm. Even a brief glance through this, it will help you to see that. So, this psalm is about the God who saves. And that's the theme. And there are four brief things that I will mention about this. First of all, that God saves those who are lost in the deserts. God saves those who are lost in the deserts. Secondly, God saves those who are locked in the dungeons. Thirdly, the Lord God saves those who are lying on their deathbeds. And then finally, God saves those laboring in the deep. So those things, the desert, the dungeon, the deathbed, the deep. God saves us from those things. Look at these verses, friends. First of all, God saves those who are lost in the deserts. Look at verses 4 and 5. They wandered in the wilderness in their solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Do you see that? What's their problem? They're wanderers. They're strangers. They're just carrying on aimlessly. Maybe the circumstances of life that has brought them into this very sad state. Wanderers, there are no roads, no company, no rest, no supplies, no hope. Wandering about. These people are in a desperate condition, and then they are wanderers. That means the wander means to stagger. To stagger. Someone who is exhausted, staggering about, not knowing where to turn to. They can't see clearly. They're alone, weak, nearly gone. And friends, there is a spiritual lesson in this. It's about a person who is lost. That's what it is. They're lost, wandering about. And that's maybe your soul this morning, wandering in your life, reading this, reading that, listening to this, listening to that, and it's still not found what the truth is. And then, listen to this. In the midst of all of these things, they pray. These wandering people, they pray. These people who are nearly gone, they pray. Verse 6, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. That's what they did. They called on the name of the Lord, Jehovah. Somehow they came to hear to find out that there is a God in heaven. Somehow they found out that there is a maker who's created them. And so who could they turn to? Only to the Lord, to that very God. And he heard their cries. There is something to help them from their wanderings. The only place where help can be found is not in me, it's not in you, it's in the Lord. Prayer. What a wonderful thing, privilege that the Lord has given to us. It's our opportunity to speak into the ear of God and to see him work in our lives. And so what did he do? Did he say, no, go away? Did he stop them? Did he say, your prayers are not good enough? No. And he delivered them out of their distresses. Our problem is we try to fix these things ourselves. We try to solve our own problems ourselves. And I've often said it. But do we hear it? Do we listen to it? And then what you find is this, yes, God heard them and he delivered them. That word to deliver, it means to set free. The word in the original, it means to release, to rescue. It means to be put in the right way. It's not just rescue them and then just let them go again, but it's taking them and then putting them in the right way, the way that they were not in before. And they are taken to a new city, a new habitation. Do you see verse 7? And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. So they are put on a new road. That, what is that talking about? Regeneration. It's talking about a new life, a new walk. That's what it is. A city of habitation, somewhere where you safely can dwell. Friends, are you going towards heaven? Are you sure of it? If you are not sure of it and you struggle with these things, again, I encourage you to read the booklet, The Seven Certain Signs of True Conversion. But it is important for us to be on the right way. It's essential for you. Make sure that you are on the right way and don't give up until you are sure of it. Not a perhaps, not a maybe, not a I hope so. Make sure you are going to that place where the Lord says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Make sure you are going there, to that heaven. And then what it results in, those people, they want to praise God. God has changed their hearts, they have been put in the right way, and they realize it's all been of God. It's not of them. All that they could do is their guilt. All that they could offer to God is that they were wanderers and they were lost. That's all they were. But God saved them. And so they praise God. They thank God. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, verse 8, and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Do you see? So these people who are wandering about alone, they are nearly dead in a desert place, and the Lord comes to them. They are not praying to nothing. It's not just praying to a wall or to a floor. No, you're not beating into the air. It's not a useless thing. Sometimes we talk to ourselves, at least I do. We talk about this and that, and how am I going to fix this now? Or something of that nature. This is not it. Prayer is not it. It's not talking to yourself. You're talking to the triune God. Remember that. Approach him reverently, seriously. So maybe that's where you are right now. Maybe you are lost. Maybe you are wandering about. You're not sure what to do. You're gone. You're not saved. What should you do? How can you escape? By coming to Christ. That's what you should do. The scripture says he's the captain of our salvation. He's the one who goes before us. He is the one who guides us and saves us. He is the Savior of the world, the Scripture says. So God saves those who are lost in the desert. But secondly, he saves those locked in the dungeon. Look at verse 10. Look at their problem here. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. You see their problem? They are locked in darkness. Imminent death. Bound. They are afflicted. They are helpless. They are alone. And all of this was brought on by what? By their own sin. It was their own fault. It wasn't God's fault. It was their own fault. So they are prisoners in a dungeon, as it were. Oh, my friends, there are some who are trapped in a prison today. Prison of fear. Prison of worry. Prison of loneliness, prison of depression, prison of sin, prison of temptations. They're locked into it. Prison of jealousy. There's the prison of unforgiveness. There's a prison of the past. There's a prison of hurts and heartaches and bitterness. There's a prison of hatred and unbelief. There's the prison of atheism and hatred for God. All of these things, they bind us up and we can't get out. Whatever you do, it seems that you are in it. Wherever you turn to, there is no way of escape out of it. It's a prison of iron and steel. But what did they do, even in that situation? To the person who is locked in and all you see in your life is just in blackness and no way of escape. What should you do? They prayed again. They prayed again. In verse 13, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. That's what happened. He saved them. Again, he provided for them. Verse 14, it says, he brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and break their bands in sunder. He delivered them out of that bondage, out of the death, out of the darkness. So they're set free from this dungeon that they were in. And isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ said? That is what he will do. In Luke chapter 4 and verse 18, he said that he was fulfilling what Isaiah had prophesied about the Messiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, the Lord Jesus read. Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recover the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. That is what the Lord Jesus Christ does. And what should that result in? Our praise again. Oh, he says in verse 15, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That's why we praise God. You wonder why Christians sing? Why we love to sing these hymns? Why we want to have the right understanding of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done? Why is it that we come out to hear the word of God, not once in a blue moon, but we want to come out regularly. We are listening to sermons throughout the week. We are reading the word of God. We are praying. Why is that? Because God has saved us. We were in a dungeon before. We didn't have these opportunities. We didn't have these things. And now we see our privilege. We are the sons and daughters of God. So we have looked at the fact that how God saves those who are lost in the desert, how the Lord saves those who are locked in the dungeon, and then the Lord saves those who are lying on their deathbed. Look at verses 17 and 18. We didn't read these words, but let us read them now. Again, there is the problem. It says here in verse 17, fools, because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Because they have disregarded God's word, because they don't regard it, they neglect it, they ignore it. They think, no, that's all old-fashioned stuff. We don't want to listen to all of these kinds of things. I don't care. My life is full of other things. Because of that, they're afflicted. Because of that, they're near death, and it is a hopeless death. These are people who at are, as it were, at the bottom of the heap. They're sick in their soul and they're longing. So they would go for therapy. They would go and take this thing. They would take a drug. They would go to the drink. I just need to take the edge off in my own soul and in my own mind. And there would be those who would just want to talk with somebody constantly. The soul is sick. What should you do in that situation? What is the remedy? What's the medicine? The Lord is your medicine. Jesus Christ is your medicine. How can you take this medicine? The medicine is in heaven. You fetch him down by prayer. That's how. Look at verse 19. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. Again, God saved. They fetched him down in prayer. So they seek the face of the Lord, my friends. And the Lord provided for them. He sent his word, verse 20, and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. The Bible is God's, as it were, medicine chest. It's filled with promises to those who trust in him. And so they praise him. They're restored. They've been saved. They have found the great physician of souls. And the New Testament reveals him to us to be the Lord Jesus Christ. But then finally, he saves those laboring in the deep. Look at verse 22. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in the ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. So what's their problem? They're tossed about. They suffer highs and lows. They are weary. They are dispirited. They're helpless. They're afraid. They're unsure of what comes next. Have you ever been in a boat? Have you ever been sailing in a boat and you're tossed this way and that way? You can't control yourself. You're being pushed here and there. You become sick. I remember once coming from Northern Ireland, and that was exactly our experience. And nobody could control anything. All they could say to announce that, you just hold on to whatever. So we held on to whatever. So the seamen could not control what was happening. They don't know what was coming to them. They just wait till the storms end. And my friends, maybe that is you. You're just waiting for the storms to end in your life. Then what will come next after that? There will be another wave. This is the life of men and women who are buffeted about by the stormy seas of this life. Is there any hope? Is there anyone to help? Can you help yourself? No. Can you save yourself? No. But there is one, again, who is to be fetched from heaven. How is he fetched? By praying. In verse 28 again. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. The person of our God saves. And how he provides for them. In verse 29, he maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Do you remember the Lord Jesus Christ? How he calmed the storms? He said, peace, be still. My friends, what's the storm in your life? All these questions, all these things bothering you. And sin does this in our lives. And some people would say, well, why do you talk about these things? Because it is true. That is why. It is true. And who is the remedy to bring calm and peace? Again, Jesus Christ. How does he do that? Well, he has already done that very thing upon the cross. He cried out as he was dying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. As he was experiencing, and he said, I thirst. He was experiencing the thing that those wandering ones in the desert were experiencing. As he was buffeted and beaten up, he was experiencing those things that sin does to us. And then what happened to him? He arose from the dead. On the third day, he came back to life, as he said. And so he's alive. So what do we do? Is Jesus Christ, is he in his tomb? No, he's not in his tomb. Is he now on a cross like a crucifix? No, he's not there. Where is he? He's in heaven. That's where he is. And so we call upon him. So wherever this message finds you, my friends, this morning, I want you to know this, that the Lord is the only one who can save you, who can deal with your life, whatever it is, whatever it is. And you might say to me right now, I don't know how to deal with this situation. But go to the one who can deal with it, who knows you, who's made you, who's made the circumstances around you. He's put you in that family that you struggle with. He's put you with those the father and mother that you find difficult with. You have brought you about in a society like this. He's given you those experiences in your life. What should you do? Should you look back? Should you say that, well, I am the one who is suffering, and I will not take the blame for anything? No. Say that the sin is mine. The troubles are mine. But I go to the one who can deal with me, with my sins. And remember our Savior Jesus Christ. Again and again, every day of your life, never forget him. Depend on him for everything. You need to run to him every day. Tell him about those things. Repent of your sins. Turn away from whatever it is that is bringing those evil things about. Turn away and trust in Jesus Christ and follow him. And he has promised to deliver. And so it is that when you come to a place where you're praying with heartfelt understanding. It's not just reading prayers or singing the hymns without any kind of affection or relationship with the words that you are singing. And then you say, I have experienced these things. I've come to know these things. This salvation is now mine. Not because of me, but because of him who died for me. And so the Apostle Paul says, he loved me and gave himself for me. And so he then went on to praise God. Even in the midst of his prison, they were able to sing praises to God. How do you sing praises? How do you pray? How do you read your Bible? How do you hear sermons preached? Do you do these things with great love and expectation? And do you do these things because of that salvation experience that you have had? Or it is all something far away, something that is foggy and unclear to you? Well, call upon the Lord, who has said that he will give sight to the blind. He will make it clear to you. May the Lord then bless these few thoughts.